Hi there, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. I'd like to say a great hello to all my friends in Carlsbad. We had a great Level 1 workshop this evening, actually for the last 2 days. And my guests this evening are going to be actually two participants from that workshop, and their names are Amy Glynn and Jennifer McLean. They also happen to be folks that I've known from on a different level, because we have some wonderful conversations of in depth, as well as wonderful conversations just about life in general. And so they decided to take this wonderful workshop about the Akashic Records, where you learn to read your own records. And we're going to talk about not only a little bit about that workshop and talk about our typical conversations, and we're going to talk about what they do and how they plan to use the work of the Akasha in their own lives, and how they see this enhancing their lives. I'd like to just put a hello out to a caller that was trying to get through. She's from Northern Canada, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to talk to you when you called in, darling. If you would email me at akashicwisdom@aol.com, I will get your question. I'm not going to be actually doing readings on the air. I would answer questions, but typical readings, you have to call me directly, and we can go ahead and do the readings separately. But this evening is going to be a little different. I'm not going to have any lines actually open to take questions. I will take email questions and do the best I can to answer them as they come forward. Again, my email address is akashicwisdom@aol.com, and I'm sitting in front of my computer. And that is akashicwisdom@aol.com. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And at this point, we're waiting for Amy and Jen to come on the line. Are you guys there?
Yes, we're here.
Oh, hey, there you are. I can hardly hear you.
Oh, is that better?
Oh, much better. That's Amy. Amy, say hello to the folks.
This is Jennifer, actually.
This is Amy. Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Hi, everyone. This is Amy.
Hey there. And this is Jen. Is Jen there, too?
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Jennifer.
Hi there.
So glad to be here tonight.
I'm sorry?
I'm so glad to be here tonight.
Yeah. I'm so glad to have you both. This is a real treat. It's interesting because we're all just as for the listening audience, just for you to know, we're at different locations on the telephone, so sometimes we might be talking over each other, but it's all good, and we're going to learn how to do this together, and that's kind of neat. As a matter of fact, if for some reason you know someone who has missed this program and not going to be able to get on the line tonight, it's going to be archived, so if you just go to the bbsradio.com and want to hear this all over again, you certainly can do that. So, Amy, let's start with you for a moment. I'd love to have you tell the folks a little bit about yourself, and how you liked the class today, and what happened, and what do you think you're going to do with this work, and then we'll go on to Jen, and we'll all have a wonderful conversation.
Well, I live in Los Angeles, and that's where I'm on the phone from, and I am a personal chef, and I have a granola company called Amy's Nuts.
Give them your website.
It's amysnuts.com. And then I also have the website consciousnessinacan.com. And I send out a weekly newsletter to inspire people and also give them a little bit of humor.
And they can subscribe to that how?
They can go to consciousnessinacan.com, and there's a link there to subscribe to the newsletter.
Great.
And then I'll add you, and that goes out Sunday through Wednesday, sometime between Sunday and Wednesday, and it's only one email a week, and you never get added to any other list. So so I do that, and I cook. And
great.
I was in the workshop this weekend was really fun and informative, and also it was fun, and it was also a bit heavy. It's a different frequency of energy, and it takes a little bit of getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the way that I'm going to, one way that I really know I'm going to use it is with writing. And actually, it's funny. I was listening to my reading on the way home.
Uh huh.
And it was it just helped bring the weekend together in a way.
Great.
Yeah, and I'm definitely going to use it for creatively for writing. I'm going to use it. I've got a couple of books that are itching to get out of me.
Okay.
And I'm going to open my records before I write, and I know that is just going to be an incredible difference. Writing with the records open is going to be incredibly different than writing without them open.
And you've already kind of experienced that, is that right?
Yeah, a little bit. Workshop today. Yeah.
Yes, right. And just to make a comment for people who are listening, what we're talking about opening the records in this workshop, what Amy and Jennifer have experienced is during the Level 1 Akashic Records workshop, I teach you how to actually access your own personal Akashic Records. And what happens is you also learn how to use that energy in pretty much every area of your life. And we go deeply into the questions that get us to the right area of the records. And it's a pretty, well, I would say that it's a very extensive, a very in-depth workshop that can help people really get clear on what their blocks are or what their joys are, as well as their right livelihood, and again, to expand their creativity and so much more. So I just wanted to kind of give an opening on that. And if you're at all curious about what that means or a little bit more in depth on that, I want you just to kind of check out my website, which is www.akashicwisdom.com, as well as ARC International, because ARC is the where I'm certified from, and that website is www.arc-akashicrecords.org. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Amy, but I just want to kind of give people kind of a heads up of what we were talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, I that's great, because I know I'm jumping into it like people know what we're talking about, and a lot of
sure.
and it's so easy to start in the middle when you know what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
To add on a little bit to what you just said, one of the key areas that this class helps in, I think, besides opening up your own records and getting access to your records, is that it helps you in every area of your life, whether your records are open or not, because one of the keys to this work is really understanding and formulating your words in a particular way so it gets you to where you need to be in the records.
Right.
And that type of succinctness in speaking and writing and communicating will expand over every area of your life, whether your records are open or not, I think.
Yeah, well, it helps you clarify things about what's the intention, you know,
right,
exactly. What you really want to know.
Yeah, this is Jennifer here. It's kind of like know your questions.
Exactly.
And kind of talking about this, too. If you know your question, then when the answer comes along, it's easier to see. And that certainly was clarified for me over the course of the weekend. And then, of course, adding the whole opportunity to open the records made it that much more clearer and smoother and cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Can you expand on that a bit, Jen?
Maybe.
Okay, go ahead.
One of the things that Donna taught quite a bit at the workshop was formulating the questions so that when you go into the records, as she was saying just a minute ago, and Amy was saying too, is that you go to you are taken to the place in the records, and correct me here because I just learned this weekend, so that you go to the place in the records where they can answer the question. And if your question is a yes or no question, they will say yes or no. But if you can formulate a question and articulate it in a way that that allows you to access the information that will bring you forward in your own evolution and your own understanding of who you are as a human in three dimensions. And
right.
And I think, and what occurred to me through the course of the weekend too, is that regardless of being able to access your records, which I highly recommend, by the way, it's a fantastic program, and it's definitely a tool that's going to be really important to me from now on. But regardless, it was a nice reminder for everyone out there to know what your questions are and articulate them in a way that you can, when the answer is, makes itself available, you understand what it's answering.
Right, right. In fact, just for a moment, why don't you just tell people what you do and a little background on yourself and how they can contact you if they're interested in what you do as well, so we can just,
sure.
I would love to know that.
Well, I've been a healer for about 15 years. I do polarity, Reiki, and cranial sacral therapy. And kind of what I do is really I've, over the years, come up with my own system, really, of how all that works. I have an area of specialization in birth trauma, and that's not just for babies, but for the adults, because we all, hopefully all of us experience birth, and if you haven't, then you might want to, never mind. so that's my specialization, and I'm also an author. I also have this other life, which is in marketing, and I'm in the process right now of writing a book called The Big Book of You. It's juxtapositions, the light and dark of life. And so that we get to celebrate the light and we get to experience the light through the dark. And you can check that out at bigbookofyou.com. And there's actually two little movies there that preview the book. So you're welcome to go there and take a look at the movies. And just a little note, the movies also have healing energy imbued with them. So get ready and open yourself to a sacred place and open up to the healing energies available in those little movies.
They're very moving.
Oh, thank you. It's a project that comes from the heart. And what I'm most excited about right now is that now I get to finish writing the book using the records. So
yes.
My experience of this weekend was, did I do everything? Oh, yeah, Healing Release, by the way. HealingRelease.com is my website for the healing practice. And I also have some interesting things that I do there too. So you can sign up for sessions.
And you live in Laguna Beach? No, you live in.
I live in Irvine,
Irvine
in South Irvine,
Irvine.
California. Thanks for
keeping
me on.
So in case there's anybody out there that wants a wonderful chef to cook fabulous meals for anywhere from 1 to 100 or more, that would be Amy, and she actually is a wonderful chef, and she delivers healthy, healthful meals to your home if you're in a certain radius. So you really need to contact her if you really want to eat good and you don't want to have to bother with cooking it yourself. She creates all those wonderful menus for you in conjunction with you. And now that she knows how to work with her records, she can actually open her records and see what kind of foods will be best for you. That's another use for the records, by the way, Amy.
Well, I was actually going to say, it got away from me before I finished all the uses that I was going to use for, and one of those is opening them up before I cook.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I can, I can't tap into other people's records to find out what food is good for them, though, can I?
Well, not specifically the way you would do that. Now, level two of the Akasha, of the workshops, level two is what actually teaches you how to access your own, the records of other people, the land, and animals. That's level two. Even in level one, what you can do is, and you could, by the way, you could not access their records unless they gave you their permission. So that's it's all with permission.
Right.
Level
yeah.
one, though, what you can do is you can open your own personal records, and when you're devising the menu for your clients, you can ask what types of foods would best serve them.
Right. And also, just on a more grounded level, I do send out a sheet to all my clients that has most of the foods listed on it, and you tell me how much you like them, 1 to 5.
Ah, great.
And anything 3 and above is usable.
Mm-hmm.
5 is, love. So,
that's fabulous.
Yeah.
And
I'm also a writer. I also left out that part. I'm a writer, I did say that. Books coming out of me. I said there was books.
Yeah, but you're also a book doctor, too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so we won't talk about that.
No, I we can talk about it all. I just forget because I just, you know,
because you do
like
so many things
with a lot of gifts and
right.
And I can do them all, and that's what keeps life interesting.
Yeah. And then with Jen, if someone wants to work with you from a healing point of view, they just have to contact you through your email or website, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do work by telephone, and I do in-person sessions, and I also have this this other thing called a soul song retrieval, which I actually worked with the records this weekend to enhance.
Right. To create a meditation for that, huh?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, and working as a healer, mm-hmm. you can actually open your records in service to your client before you actually move through that transformational energy with your cranial sacral and the other types of healing work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's even a level one thing.
Right. So when I'm accessing my records to when I'm about to work with a client. Is it just how can I best serve them, more or less?
Yeah, and you would, yes, how can I best serve, and you would get their legal name, and then
right.
and then you just do that.
Okay.
And there are some people, after they are familiar more familiar with the energy, that actually keep their records open during a healing session.
Hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm. It expands the energy and increases it.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense. Well, you know,
right.
when the records are open, I just feel... the word that keeps coming to mind is clean.
Yeah.
I just feel cleaner and smoother,
mm-hmm.
Kind of a little bit more of an elegance in my thinking and my presence.
Jen, did you open your records before the call?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Great. So are both your records open?
Yes.
Great. So why don't you just check in and see what else you'd like to talk about right now? I want to hear all the things that you love about the class, but this is not an infomercial. I want to hear some benefit, but I mean, not that I'm going to turn that down. But the idea is, I really would love to get into some of our conversations about life and the kind of stuff that we normally do and talk. And so, Amy, you're always good for a subject. What kind of subject? You had mentioned something before about what you last night at dinner.
Last night at dinner. I don't remember what I said last night at dinner, but I do know a subject that I think would be great to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it is, it's actually an email that I sent out to the both of you earlier in the month. And I'm just pulling it out right now. And what it is I read something on the web by Osho, and it's called Watch Your Moods. And what it talks about is that when a mood against someone or for someone arises, do not place it on the person in question, but remain centered. And the sutra, it's from a sutra, and the sutra says that when love or hate arises, or any mood for or against anyone, do not project it on the person in question. Remember, you are the source of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about love, or we're talking about positive or negative, quote unquote, negative emotions in this.
Mm-hmm.
So whether mm-hmm. it's love or anger or whatever it is, the person is just a screen that we project that feeling onto,
mm-hmm.
and if that feeling was, and we can thank them for pricking us for it to come out. And what this talks about is that, for instance, if you, the Buddha, once the Buddha became filled with compassion, nothing else comes out of him because that's what he's filled with.
Mm-hmm. So the things in our life that, I'll tell you all in advance that sometimes Amy and I come from things that from different directions, and I kind of look at it like the mirror piece, which is what when someone is speaking to me and I go into reaction. And in fact, Amy said something really great today. It was about writing between the lines instead of reading between the lines.
Yeah.
Right, it's that, you know, somebody was talking to me about a relationship he was in once, and he was asking me the way about how he was interpreting what she was doing or what was coming at him, and he said, "Amy, tell me, am I just reading between the lines?" And I said, "No, you're writing between them."
Hmm.
meaning that you're not your perception of what that person is saying to you is yours, not and it may or may not be the truth of what they're saying to you. So I mean, I think we all kind of come from the place of one, which is us, and the opportunity is for us to come from a place of all, I guess, which is we're not talking. When someone comes at me, I get a chance to look at that and say, what are they reflecting about me? What is it that they are saying, that good or bad, that is a reflection of who I am as a person and where I'm at right now in my life? And you know, and this weekend was a great opportunity to look at a lot of that kind of stuff too. You know, when you're in a workshop with a lot of people, there's a lot of reflection going on about, you know, who you are and where you are and what they represent to you, and how and whether I was plugged in or whether I wasn't plugged in, or in some cases I noticed that I was no longer plugged in where previously I might have been. So all of it was about awareness from my perspective and noticing. And I think that's kind of what the noticing your moods is about, which is simply noticing in general, which is you know, taking the time to, if you're in reaction, to notice what the reaction is, who it's in reaction to, and what it's in reaction about. Because at the end of the day, my belief is that it's me reflecting me back at me, and all of it is an opportunity to take that reflection and learn from it and grow from it and evolve into someone who's happier.
Yeah, it's like the comment that I made before, even actually in class, is, what is there about you I don't like about me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
That's right.
That's a great statement.
I would
statement.
Even go so far as to say that some of the people that the conversation that I'm having with you right now is really me having a conversation with me.
Exactly. Right. And the other thing, too, is that as we mirror back to each other, mm-hmm. and just as this is a comment with the records, because there are some times where people actually either, well, as we know, you know, perk our awareness in ways that are maybe uncomfortable. In other words, you know, we're not happy with them. they get a little bit... Well, we just kind of wonder where they're coming from, and we can actually go into the records and ask for more insight about why was that happening?
Right.
What part of this person was jazzing me, and what do I need to look at here? So that's
right.
Another thing you can do with the records, by the way. Even so you can get a quicker answer rather than, you know, mulling it, you can actually go quicker and deeper.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, we were kind of talking about that too, which is, I mean, I have a lot of tools in my spiritual tools in my toolbox.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they've served me well. And this feels like another tool.
Yeah.
However, what's cool about it is it's quicker.
It is quicker.
It's quicker and clearer, and you know, I'm not, you know, there's lots of things that I'm going to continue to use that I've used in the past, and this is just another lovely element that I'm adding. That again, it's you know, I can access some stuff quicker now.
Yeah, and one of the things is because it doesn't have any ritual to it necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very clean. It's mm-hmm. very what you use at your word, Jen. And
yeah.
And the idea here is once you say the prayer and you say it the way we were taught, you're there. And there's a lot of healers out there and a lot of people who access the records or drop into their records and they don't even know they're there.
Yeah.
Or they do know they're there and they're not sure how they got there.
Right.
And so what. And they want to figure out how do I get here and how do I get back, or how do I get out,
right.
And then how do I get back.
Right.
And with this, it's instantaneous and it makes you go quicker. In fact, I did a workshop recently for a lot of folks who were Rosicrucian, from the Rosicrucian order. And the Rosicrucians, I don't know if you're aware of it, and I wasn't, but I am now, talk a lot about the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm.
And they have... And this is not to say one system is better than another, but one of the participants, one of the students said, what he likes about this particular technique, if you will, or tool, is that you don't have to be in meditation, you don't have to have your eyes closed, you don't have to, you know, you can just use the prayer, access it, and be there. So that was kind of, I think that's what you were saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually noticing right now that, you know, with my records open, and again, this is a new feeling because I just learned it this weekend, that normally for this type of thing, when I, you know, do radio or interviews or that type of thing, I get nervous and I speak really quickly and my heart pounds, and none of that is happening.
That's interesting.
Which is lovely. And I think, I think I'm speaking slowly.
You're speaking fine. I mean, and Amy, I just love this idea of people being a mirror for us that we're talking about here. And this is a wonderful quote that you've gotten here. So speak more about it if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't. I mean, I think that, you know, I've heard people are a mirror and all that kind of stuff. And I've heard this concept presented in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout my lifetime, and this particular way of presenting, of it coming through, of that when a feeling arises of love or anger or whatever it is, that remember you're the source of it, just that wording and that presentation really set with me more, because I think a lot of times it's more of the anger or the that people tend to look at a mirror for rather than the love and stuff like that. So it's this encompasses more of it, I think, in a way, because I don't often hear people say, "Oh, I love you." Oh, that's just a mirror of myself. I mean, I don't often hear that, you know. But I hear, "Oh, I'm pissed off. Oh, you're just a mirror for me." So,
mm-hmm.
So this actually, I think, brings it more fully encompassing. It does for me, anyways.
Right. So it's the good and it's the quote good and quote and quote bad.
Right.
It reflects both.
It's all of it, and
yeah.
and I think that's a really important piece, is that if I, you know, and what it says in this, you know, you can search online for Watch Your Moods Osho, and it will come. This piece will come up. And
how do you spell Osho?
O S H O. And
okay.
Basically, you know, what it says is that if you throw a bucket into a dry well, nothing comes out. In a water-filled well, you throw a bucket and water comes out. But the water is from the well. The bucket only helps to bring it out.
Hmm.
So if someone is insulting you and just throwing a bucket in you, and then the bucket comes out filled with anger, hate, or fire, or love, you're the source of all of it.
Right, right. But,
right.
You know, at the same time, what you're saying is, and I think this is really important, and I've been really working with this for the last several weeks, which is not just noticing when someone's upset me or when I go into reaction of some kind, but also noticing when I'm going into joy and happiness and love and looking at that same reflection.
Right.
Because I think in our culture we tend to focus a lot on what seems to be negative, because the perception is that's what's quote-unquote holding us back. I'm going to not say
right.
quote unquote again. Okay, that's the last time, I promise.
And,
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
So that appears to be what's holding us back. But in reality, there's really, you know, we are holding ourselves back. There's nothing really holding ourselves back. It all just is. And it's all an opportunity for us to grow deeper and gain more understanding of who we are as human beings.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Let me just throw this in there. Is that people can be mirrors, but people can also be windows. And,
yes,
and,
that's true.
And so it doesn't just have to be something.
No, that's really true. I like that.
Yeah, and not only can they be windows and mirrors and all that wonderful, those good analogies, but I think it's also a wonderful opportunity for us to go deep into gratefulness when we have that awareness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea of going deep into gratefulness just opens us more, rather than laying blame. If we can go into the gratefulness of just the awareness about what this person is bringing to me, whether it happens to be a negative feeling or a positive feeling, and I'm not talking about being a Pollyanna,
no,
you know, at all. I'm just saying that wow, that
you know
that that jazzed me. Wow, thank you for showing that to me.
Yes.
Why is that bugging me now?
I had an incident once, and I keep using this as an analogy because it just was so apparent to me. I was at the gym, and I was about to go into yoga class, and I was kind of zoning out, and I was standing by the water fountain. This woman came up to me, and I was not in her way, but not out of her way, and she was really snotty and just said, "God, excuse me, you're in the way." And, you know, yanked me out of my reverie, and I went immediately into anger. And in that moment, I had the opportunity to say, okay, what's going on here? And for me in that moment, and I'm going to use the word reflection, it was a reflection of my own anger that I had been feeling for the last couple of days. And it showed up, and I had the opportunity in that moment to say, okay, this has nothing to do with this woman. This is about me. And it is about it's now an opportunity to look at the anger. And I have to say, now that I have this other tool, I would probably open the records and ask about this in a different way. But then I just looked at it and said, okay, where in my life have I ever done this to someone else? Well, I have plenty of examples of when I was snotty to someone. And so I got to look at that and say, okay, well, that was me. That's also who I've been. And who was that person that did that, and who created it? And then, I have this process where I thank myself and I love myself and I apologize and I bring it to a place where I can now accept who I am now and who I was then, and bring it all into a place where I can release that anger. But that woman was a gift.
Yeah.
And just relating to what you were saying, Donna, about gratitude for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I have to say that I think that the gratitude should be silent between you and your creator, or you and the person doesn't necessarily have to be thanked.
Right. You don't have to. You don't want to walk up to the person that's being crappy and say,
thank you
for being in a bad mood.
Really,
I so appreciate you.
But isn't that person part of the creator?
Sure.
When people thank me for stuff like that, I kind of want to punch them.
No.
Exactly.
I agree.
Exactly.
I don't think you need to go up and thank the person, but I think the gratefulness definitely comes in terms of that person was a valuable teacher for me.
And
right.
The other thing too, though, we also have to realize, I do forget this sometimes, but when I give myself a chance to remember, it calms me down. Is that there is no one that administers pain that is not in pain.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right.
And so whether they're being nasty or they're just being rude, whatever's happening within them, although it can be as a reflection or mirror, whatever we want to call that, but the reality is they're also feeling something too.
Sure. Can't they administer their pain elsewhere, though?
That it wouldn't be a gift.
Oh.
Yeah, and you know, if it sticks to you, then you get to look at it.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then you get to bless them.
Yeah.
And there's one other thing I want to say about gratitude, which is it is truly my belief, and this is actually, I write about this in one of the books I'm working on, which is I believe that gratitude is the only prayer. And that anything else is asking for your will over the Creator's.
Mm. Say that again.
Gratitude is the only prayer. Thank you.
Okay.
And that anything else is asking for your will over the Creator's.
Now, see, I don't agree with that.
Great. Talk about it.
Yeah, let's
talk
about that.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm there either. I get it.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but see, I'm coming from a place where I'm a partner of the divine.
Yeah.
And if I'm a partner, then I get to discuss what would be the highest and what I would most desire in my life, as I would speak to a partner in my life. My connection to my divine is a partnership. And it's not about, you know, thy will, not my will, because I'm not in that power. For me, I'm not in that power play mentality. I'm in the mentality that says, not only am I a partner of the divine, I'm an instrument of the divine,
mm-hmm.
And by modeling my ability to manifest or not manifest, I'm actually creating an opening for other people to move into that space and see what's possible for them. So my prayer is not about it's not about greed or taking something that somebody doesn't have, but coming from a place where of knowing that we, not only do we live in an abundant, prosperous universe, some of us have chosen to access and take it, and some of us, for whatever reason, have not gone down that path. It's not a judgment. To me, it's like I said, it's a partnership that it's a divine partnership that I have committed myself to by coming into the constriction of being in body, mm-hmm. and learning how to partner with the divine to create a blissful life.
So I completely agree with the notion of the grateful is the prayer. I think
but
that is.
Yeah.
It's the most elegant prayer that anyone can do ever, and if that's all they're doing, then they're definitely accomplishing something. But I also think that one of the reasons we're here is to figure out what our relationship is with the divine, and to figure out how to embrace more of it, and become have that bucket be full of love, and not the emotions that are. Contributing more to I'm not gonna say evil, but not or the dark. It's kind of like the dark, right, versus the light.
And working with
God or the divine or all that is as a I certainly am asking in my prayer, and I'm very grateful for what I have, and I'm looking for ways to improve myself and improve the world at the same time. But I'm certainly not an ascended master yet.
Either that, or you're just not conscious of it. No, I mean that. And there is who's to say who's an ascended master and who isn't here on this mm-hmm. planet? I mean, you could find a homeless person in the street that's wiser than anyone,
mm-hmm.
and their choice of experience is to go through that homeless situation.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a comment, I mean, I believe. Boy, I'm grateful for everything. I mean, I'm grateful for parking places and, smelling coffee. And every time somebody calls me, I say, thank you, God. I mean, I'm with you on the gratefulness. I just also know that I, in my belief system, I can ask. And
every
and
time, Donna? Every time someone calls you? Okay.
Every time.
Well,
if they're calling to be a client, if they're calling to be an idiot, no. Then they're
okay.
A mirror, and that's a reflection, and we're okay.
But I want to address what both of you were just talking about. And So my belief is that, and I've worked with this, and I've played with these principles, and so my belief is gratitude to I call it the keeper of the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
gratitude is the
Great.
Only prayer to the keeper of the big picture. However, the keeper of the big picture has put the universe in place.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe can be commanded. It is not prayed to. You do not ask it. You tell it what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Okay. And so...
Yeah.
It's basically you order your universe. You put first of all, you put in your order. You command it. You put in your order through a command, and then you have to order your life for that command to come through. Now that's what we were talking about earlier. Like you ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
You word your questions appropriately. For what you really, for what you really want to see.
If you, if you put in a command that is big from your belief system,
uh-huh.
then I think that, and we've been talking about this lately in our calls, but I think that the response that you have is equal to the command, right? So that means if I make a huge request of the universe, or command, I like that. If I make a huge command of the universe as to what I want, and it's a big thing, then the things that I need to review and look at and will pop up in my life to show me that review is going to be equal to the command.
Exactly. basically, yeah, I mean, can I reword that, Jen?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so basically, when you request growth, when you commit yourself to growth,
mm-hmm.
Say I commit myself to having a better relationship with money, like I'm really, like, you know what, I'm going to have a better relationship with money from this point forward. Every area of your life that is not, every place that you don't have a good relationship with money, you have to see, and it has to be shown to you, and you have to go through it for you to understand where you're out of alignment with your request.
That's right.
And did that come from the class today that you got that insight, or was that just something you had come from?
Oh, this is, I've been working with this stuff for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing I want to say is that anger, you know, we talk about anger like we shouldn't have it. Anger is valuable.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So is fear, and so are all these things that we're calling the negative emotions. And I think that the whole point of the Osho article that we opened this with is that, you know, is that just to realize you're the source of it. It doesn't mean, you know, that you're trying to erase it or not have it. Mm-hmm. And I had to keep reminding myself that, you know, when I think, oh, I'm angry, you know, how do I get rid of this anger?
You know, that's right. Yeah. You know what? That's the part about the secret that bugs me.
Yeah.
That's the part.
What do you mean?
Which is...
Wait a minute. There's a part about the secret that bugs me?
I know. I finally found it. I'm a huge fan of The Secret, for those who don't know.
I'm not.
And Amy is not a huge fan of The Secret. But that is...
Wow, you should get calls on that one. By the way, ladies and gentlemen out there, if you would like to email us a question on what we're talking about, the lines are down, so it's going to go busy. So because we have all the lines up, so if you have any comments on what we're talking about, any questions about what we're talking about, please email me. I know that I've gotten one email from somebody already that I was trying to get through that wanted to ask a question of the Akasha, and I promise to answer that question next week, because we're in such a good flow right with our questions here that if we can kind of focus the questions on what we're talking about, that would be so wonderful. But please email them to akashicwisdom@aol.com. I'm sitting in front of my computer, and I can't wait to talk to you. So, okay, so finish up about why Amy doesn't like The Secret and all you that insight. That's great. Can't wait to hear this one. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, Jen's talking about what she doesn't like about it.
You know what? I think I lost
something.
My train of thought. If you can believe it, I think I lost my train of thought. Because I love
so
much.
I can tell you. No, I can bring it right back.
You bring it back to me.
I can hold you. I can bring it back home, baby.
Okay, bring it to me, baby.
Go for it, girl.
And that is, I said that anger is a valuable emotion.
Right, right. Okay, so what I was saying is that The Secret basically says, be happy. And I agree. I think that is true. I think that when you are in the flow, that you create more things that are in the flow with you. I agree with that. But you can't just say, I'm happy. You can't just say, okay, now I'm joyful. There's a path to joy. There's a path to happiness. And when we make a request that, and you know, part of the secret is that you ask for what you want, which is the command, and then you believe that it's going to happen, and you see it and you feel it. So the idea is, feel what it feels like to be abundant, right? Well, my realization recently is that I've never really understood what it truly feels like because I haven't felt it. I mean, I've had a very successful life, and I've been, you know, I've had money, but I'm talking about a bigger request, and I don't know what that feels like. So I can't just automatically say, okay, I'm going to put myself in the flow of feeling that when I've never felt it. So now the chance is to request opportunities to feel it, right? I can't just say I'm happy. I can't just, and anger is going to get, potentially could get me there to that same place. And I can't say that anger is now wrong because it puts me out of the flow. Well, anger is a piece of the pathway to get to the flow. And if I just ignore anger and say, okay, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I really, really am, because if I'm not, I'm not going to make money. Right?
Well, not to mention the fact that if you lie to yourself like that, okay,
exactly.
It creates a bigger block and more frustration, and
right.
You're certainly not going to get what you want.
And I think that's the danger of The Secret.
And that's why the name of one of my articles is called Put Down That Affirmation.
But, you know, affirmations do have a place.
But I think
the key is to take the affirmation and feel what it feels like. So if your affirmation is, you know, I have a wonderful mate, what does it feel like to have a mate? And if you don't know what it feels like, well, then that's your question.
What does it feel like to have
a mate? And then the universe will probably provide you all kinds of opportunities to get to that feeling so that when you do affirm it and when you do visualize it, you can actually express the feeling. And then I believe the attraction is instant.
All right, but here, I just have to say one thing about that.
Sure.
And that is...
One thing?
Well, maybe more. is that when you... When people communicate, they either communicate by what they're saying or by what they're not saying. Mm-hmm. And it's not... And it just depends on when they're talking. It's not like a person does that all the time. Like, a person communicates in one way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody says an affirmation like, I have a happy life, right? What they're actually communicating is what they're not saying.
Though.
Huh?
That's an extreme example, but yeah.
Well, I'm making a point here.
Okay.
When somebody, you know, what they're actually saying is, I don't have a happy life and I wish I did.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so... what I find with affirmations is that they actually affirm what you don't have.
Well, sure, because what happens is as soon as you say the affirmation, your monkey mind comes forward and says, oh, no, you don't, you silly person.
Yeah, but that's
right.
But isn't that an opportunity? Okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. I agree with you. And I think maybe there's an opportunity here to look at the affirmation in that way.
Yeah, but I don't think that the secret's talking about affirmations.
No, they aren't.
I think what they're talking about.
Yes,
oh, did
are.
I miss that?
No, but we're
talking about manifestation.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And the idea here is that the manifestation comes from a feeling of wanting of understanding what it feels like to have what you want.
That's
and
right.
If you have a discussion with yourself and you don't, like what Jen was saying, I don't know what it feels like in certain areas, and you don't have it, then you end up putting yourself down because you can't, you know, obviously what the secret says, and Esther Hicks, and it's true, you can't get to a good place from feeling bad. You just can't do it. And so you have to get to a different place if you're going to, you know, use the manifestation principles.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, even Esther Hicks says that, you know, if you're at the bottom in depression, then, you know, anger is actually a good place because it's not depression anymore. At least it's anger, and it's moved up the list.
The top chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and then what we, and to get back to the workshop, which you can do with the Akashic Records is ask how it feels.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that.
I got that today. Yeah.
That's a nice piece.
Yeah, show me how it feels, right.
Show me how it feels. And
show me how it feels if I would.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I could.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to say that is an incredibly powerful thing to do because, I mean, that's basically what The Secret is saying, which is you have to feel it. And you know, if nothing else, I've been doing this spiritual stuff for long, like at least 20 years. And the Secret came along and gave me that peace, which is feel it. Now, what I've been doing since then, which is August, is learning how to feel it. And this weekend, you know, I got a tool that, again, quickens the process.
Yeah.
A tool that allows me to just say, can you, you know, ask the records, show me what that feels like. And when you have a feeling, it's kinesthetically in your body now. And when it's in your body and an opportunity comes along, so you're doing something in your life that you don't really want to be doing. And you don't know exactly what you need to be doing that's different. But when you understand what it feels like, and then you find something through happenstance, which is how most of this stuff happens, it's synchronistic, and you feel it, it's like now it's recognizable. It's like, oh, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your intuition kicks.
Because you have a barometer, you have a touchstone.
You have a benchmark.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Or you have a canary, you have a touchstone. No,
All the words that could describe that. Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Amy. Go ahead, Amy. Your turn.
I got nothing. You got nothing.
Oh, that's not possible. There's never a time that you got nothing.
One of the things that I think that is kind of dangerous about The Secret is that, and I actually think that the people who created it know that now, and they're taking steps to change it, you know.
Oh, now they're going to do The Secret too.
Oh, stop it.
We got a comment. We got an email comment from a lady.
Oh,
you want to hear it?
Yeah.
It's really great. And she says, "Hi, Donna. She goes, I've listened to The Secret, and I find that listening to the negative brings negative on with me, and it tells you to say positive affirmations, etc. But it keeps repeating the negative. Do you agree? Do you three agree on that part?" And they're talking about listening to The Secret. I have actually noticed that they tell you what not to think. And then keep thinking about what you don't want to think about.
I have never thought of that.
Yeah, that's Nancy Sue out in Canada, I think. And just thank you very much there, Nancy Sue. That was a great comment.
Anybody
want to expound on that?
Amy loves it. But you know, it's like anything in life. The dark allows us to see the light better, right?
Yeah.
And when we are able to see, and
actually it's the light that allows us to see the dark better.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Our contrarian. Thank you for the contrast there. Thank you for the dark so I can see my light. Oh, gosh, I forgot. I lost my train of thought now.
It'll come back. Use your grace points.
So, the comment again was
it tells you to say the positive affirmations, but it keeps repeating the negative.
But if we don't know what we don't want, then we have to know what we don't want in order to know what we want. And this I believe is a good lesson too, which is. When you ask for something and you get it, sometimes it's not what you wanted. How many times have I asked for something in a relationship? And I had this great list, and I looked at the list after I'm in the relationship, and everything was on it except that he made money. Right? So now I know, or something else, you know, that's too obvious, but or something else, like he's not needy. But I missed that piece, and now I know what I don't want. So the next time, it clarifies my question even more.
That's one of my key issues with the movie The Secret, is it totally leaves out one of the biggest pieces of navigating on this in this reality, and that is know where you place no, the word no, and yeah. Where you place no and the no energy is samurai sword that cuts out your life.
As in N-O, not...
N-O, yes. N-O is a much... is a much more of a guidepost than yes or anything else. Because when you tell... the universe, it's a lot more along the lines of the command, the universe that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell the universe no, but it's not just tell no, when your actions are in alignment with your no,
mm-hmm.
and you don't accept the things you don't want anymore,
mm-hmm.
you create a void.
Yep.
And that opens up a space for yes to show up.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yes does not yes is not necessarily the next thing that shows up. Sometimes you have to say no again and again until yes shows up, and that happens.
But I also think in many lives, yes is missing.
True.
I mean, no is incredibly important because most of us have had that experience where we haven't said no and we really wanted to.
And every time that we do that, we get angry at ourselves
and
then project it onto other people a lot of times.
Exactly, and resentment follows.
So So right.
Yeah, and then when every time you say yes and you mean no, you create, as you said, more anger. But it goes even deeper than that, because it goes to the point of learning not to trust yourself, because you're not doing what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not speaking your truth, rather.
You don't have bound. You don't have. I call boundaries your no lines, N-O lines.
Right.
Yeah.
Boundaries
right.
are your no lines, and basically, if you have a boundary, if you know that you don't drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It doesn't matter if somebody says, "Well, wait a minute, you've got to try this wine. It's a $3,000 bottle of wine, and I brought it back from the caves of Manchuvian or whoever the hell that is." it doesn't matter because you don't drink, and so you're not, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, when you say no, you're delineating things more. But I think it's very similar to you know, knowing what you want and knowing what you don't want. But no is a piece of that. But I think yes is equally as important. I don't think no is more important than yes. But I think yes is a really important part, because a lot of us don't say yes either.
We yes say, and we no say are the guidelines.
We
yes.
say a definite maybe. I think a lot of us say, that's a definite maybe. You know? And we kind of sit on the fence. And to me, yes is a risk. To me, yes is grabbing life by the throat. And well, that's not a good one. How about by the bridle? Of
well,
course.
Well, yeah, but the other, I think what comes up for me when you're talking about this, and I'm not trying to make a cliche out of this, but it sounds like we have to say no more to others and yes and more yeses to ourselves.
That's true.
You know, it's like the more times that we just stand up for ourselves and be there. I was watching PBS the other night, mm-hmm. and Susie Orman was giving the 8 qualities of a wealthy woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 2 qualities were harmony and balance. Yeah, I mean, it was actually rather insightful, and I wrote it down. And the way she calculates harmony,
mm-hmm.
is that when your actions, when your thoughts, your words, and your actions all align.
Yeah, congruency. That's what I call congruency.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, that's,
and when you align, and then that creates balance in your life, and then all of a sudden everything else falls in. And so it's really about finding where you're out of alignment.
And you know what? Good for Susie for saying no. To men.
What? What's
gay.
That about?
She came out that she's gay.
Well, anyway. That's a non-issue. Don't even go there.
Okay, so anyways, I just want to...
Yes.
Donna, what you just said... I know, it has nothing
no.
to do with it.
Well,
Donna, what you just said...
What? Yeah?
And I just wanted to say, when you said, you know, it's saying no to others and yes to ourselves...
Yeah.
I just have to say that we just have to say yes to our no's.
Okay, that's true.
We have to what?
So
say
yes
to our nose.
Yes to our nose, yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
So it's like, yeah, it's a no.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be saying no to your yeses? What are you talking about? Say, really expand on that, because I, you know, all of a sudden I'm not getting it.
Okay, what I'm saying is that oftentimes you want to say no to. Oftentimes people want to say no to people, to other people, or no to invitations, or no to whatever.
Correct.
But instead of saying no, we say yes.
Yes, that's correct.
So we have to allow ourselves to say no. So it's saying yes to our no's. You know what? I feel no.
Yeah. Okay. Now I got it. You know, the other thing
I'm gonna say no.
Well, but that comes up a lot in the consultations I do. And one of the things that the records have said is that before you actually, especially if you're talking about a person that doesn't have boundaries and they want to be able to get boundaries and they're trying to figure out how to do it, what the records have suggested is the next time somebody asks you to do something, what you're supposed to do is say, I have to get back to you. I've got to check my calendar. And you go back and you look at your calendar, and then you make a decision about whether or not you really want to do that, whatever it is. And if for some reason, and so you make the decision of whether you want to or you don't want. In other words, like, is doing this going to make me feel good about me? And then you move into the idea that you know that you want to say no to the person, but let's say a person doesn't have the courage to say no. So what the records have said to them is, all you have to do is put your name into that space where the calendar is and you honestly say to the other person, "I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have other plans. I have another commitment." And then at the time that commitment comes up, instead of blowing yourself off, you do something that's nurturing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives people strength to be able to start saying no and know that it's okay to say no.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I think this notion of no is unbelievably important. I really do. I think it's really brilliant. And you know,
well, I got to tell you that we are almost out of time here. This has been probably, I want to tell you, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed having you guys. I love this. This is a wonderful time. I love the active conversation, and we got to do this again because this is fun.
Yeah, it is.
Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah, it was great. It's really fun. It's
thank
like
you
one
again
of our calls.
For the great weekend.
Whoops, I can't hear you.
Thanks for the great weekend too, and learning about the Akashic Records was just incredible. And it's a fantastic new tool that's really going to change me.
Oh, that's great. We're going to be in touch. I want you to let me know how it continues to change your life, because it evolves and gets deeper and better the more you do it.
Mm-hmm.
The more you work in your records, the deeper and the stronger it gets. And so thanks so much, Jen, for being on the show. I want you both to, and thank you, Amy, for being on the show and being our catalyst for change here. I think you're great.
Thank you. This is fun. I love this.
Yeah, it's been a great time. What I want to say is that I want to just give a plug for ARC, and then we'll do plugs for you and just want to tell you guys out there that if you've enjoyed this program and you want to know more about the Akashic Records and what we're talking about, you have a bunch of different options. Number one, you can email me and ask me for information. I'm happy to email it to you. And my email is all over the place. If you click on Akashic Wisdom on the radio there, on the shows at bbsradio.com. My telephone number, just to contact me directly in Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I live, is at 216-691-1233. My website is akashicwisdom.com. Also want to tell you that ARC International is the group of the organization that has certified me as an Akashic Records teacher and consultant. And you can find out more about the Akashic Records and where the teacher might be in your area if you'd like by going to the internet and going to www.arc-akashicrecords.org. And so I really want to thank you all for listening. And here is Jen. Why don't you go first, since Amy went first coming into the show? So Jen, tell us about where they can contact you and what they should call you about, and then we'll take the show out with Amy.
Okay.
How's that?
Thanks so much. You can reach me at healingrelease.com. You can reach me at jennifer@healingrelease.com. My website has all the content and information about how to reach me. You can book a session by phone. You can book a session in person if you're in Southern California. I also do soul song retrievals, and if you go to Big Book of You, you can see the movie about my upcoming book that's coming out in the fall of this year. Thank
Great.
You again, Donna.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Call Jen for whatever you need. Call me for an Akashic record. Oh, call Jen to get energy transformation. Call me for an Akashic record consultation. And now there's Amy.
Hello.
Call Amy for some good food. Go ahead, Amy.
Coming to you from Los Angeles, California. you can reach me directly, amy@amysnuts.com. That's amysnuts.com. And that's my granola company, where I make healthy vegan granola that's sweetened only with maple syrup, and it's delicious. And I actually had sent a bag. I sent a bag to Famous Amos, and he called me to tell me how much he liked it.
Great.
So that was really cool. I got a call from him that said, "Guess what I had for breakfast this morning?" It was great. And then also, if you want to be on my Consciousness Quotation of the Week newsletter, you can actually send an email to amy@amysnuts also. Just put newsletter in the subject line, and I will add you to that list. And it's easy to get off of. It's easy to get onto. So if you like that, great. And I also write web copy and all that kind of stuff. And there you have it. And I'm a chef.
You guys are fabulous, and I hope our listeners, you know, really – you know, give you a call, and I'm just telling, first of all, for all those folks that are listening out there, I want to say thank you for listening. Email us your questions and your contacts, but most of all, May every person out there, wonderful beings of light that you are, may your burdens all be lifted, and may your hearts be opened, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close another program out of Akashic Wisdom, and we will be back next week at the same time, same station, bbsradio.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.